Welcome back. Welcome to Module 9, where we're going to talk about suggestibility tests. Now, I mentioned in the last module that you can do instant inductions with people, but it's better to find out who is highly suggestible and just target those people. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, your tour guide, as you learn how to use conversational hypnosis. But you're going to learn it at a higher level than other people, because this is ultimate conversational hypnosis, the program that puts you in the driver's seat, that gives you, by the time you're done with this program, a black belt in conversational hypnosis. So let's continue on in our journey and our exploration as we learn about suggestibility tests. Now, it's interesting to point out that stage hypnotists, you know, those men and women who perform hypnosis in front of large groups of people, are usually telling the truth in their shows. You may think the whole thing is staged. You may think it's staged hypnosis, but it's not. It's true. It's real. They're not putting you on. Those are not paid actors who go up on stage. Those are real people. Is that scary? Well, here's something even more scary. You might actually be one of those people who is that suggestible. We're going to find out in this module. Now, probably about 1 in 10 people will be so suggestible that they will just blindly follow commands and not realize they're doing it. But with these techniques, with these suggestibility tests, you are going to find out who those people are. Now, again, as I mentioned in the last module, you're starting to gain more power here. You're starting to have access to tools, techniques, tricks, if you want to call them that, that are going to require you to have a certain level of maturity. Because when you have this much power, you're going to need to understand how to use it appropriately. Inappropriate use of this power can get you in trouble, and I don't want to see that. So I'm telling you right now, use your powers for good. Only do things that you know to be right and good. Avoid the dark side, if you will. Let's face it, we all know what I'm talking about. We know that with these powers, you can get people to do things that you shouldn't get them to do. So I'm trusting you to be a mature person and to use your powers for good. Having said that, let's get into the information. How do you tell if someone is suggestible? Now, keep in mind, the word is not susceptible. Susceptible means someone's a sucker. It means you can trick them or fool them. That is not to be confused with suggestible. Suggestible means that the person is going to follow your suggestions. You're going to make suggestions, and they're going to follow them. So I often hear people in seminars that I do say susceptible. The word is suggestible. You are going to make suggestions in your conversation. They are going to follow your suggestions. So these are suggestibility tests. The first one that I want to introduce you to is one which you can do in parties very easily. And I personally enjoy having fun with this one at parties. The unsuspecting person on whom you're doing the suggestibility test is simply asked to clasp their hands together like they're praying. Now, the fingers would be interwoven like the laces on a football. So you can pray with your hands together and your fingers kind of pointing outward. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about really clasping your hands together, interlacing the fingers. And then all you do is tell the person that you want them to try to pull their hands apart. However, their hands, as they will find, are stuck together. You want to say all of that to the person. Say this: "Now I want you to try to pull your hands apart, but you'll realize when you try that you can't because your hands are stuck together." Okay, now a lot of people will simply pull their hands apart and say, "Hey, whatever, buddy, I can pull my hands apart. This doesn't work on me," and that's fine because it's a suggestibility test. You're testing to see who is that suggestible. Every now and then, you're going to get lucky. You're going to have a person whose hands really are stuck together. And the first time it happens, you're not going to believe it. I'm telling you right now, you're going to think that they're faking it. You're going to think they're just playing along. You've got to understand there are a lot of people in this world who really are that suggestible. When you find one of them, you know that all of the little covert tricks that you're going to learn in this program are not necessary, because you can give them direct suggestions and they will follow those suggestions. That, my friends, is a wonderful thing, because it makes your job a lot easier. If you want to persuade someone and you have someone who is that suggestible, your job just became a lot easier, and you just saved yourself a lot of groundwork, because you don't have to try a lot of covert techniques any longer. Another suggestibility test, which I've had a lot of fun with at parties, is similar to the first one. They have their hands clasped together, but they also have their thumbs pressed together. The part of your thumb that would make a thumbprint on one hand is pressed against that part of your thumb on the other, where your thumbprint is. So the hands are clasped together, fingers are interlaced, and thumbs are thumbprint to thumbprint, pushing together. You explain to the person that you heard of a neat trick and you want to show it to them. And you have them do this, you have them push their thumbs together, then you explain further by saying this, and you can say this word for word: because of the angle of your thumbs, and because they are pressed together so tightly, it is impossible for you to pull them apart. Try as you may, you cannot pull them apart. And so you'll see them struggling to pull their thumbs apart. Now, keep in mind, this is a suggestibility test. Some people will fail the test. They will pull their thumbs apart, and that's fine, because you know that you have to continue using covert hypnosis techniques with them, because they are not that suggestible. However, every now and then, you'll find someone whose thumbs are stuck together. Now, a neat trick that I like to do on top of this, when I have someone whose thumbs are stuck together, is I will say, and when I snap my fingers, your thumbs will come apart. I snap my fingers, and their thumbs come apart. Not only are they amazed, but everyone around them is amazed also. You have just improved what I call your social proof. You see, people are always judging you. They're always sizing you up. They're always deciding that you're powerful or not powerful, that you're good or bad, smart or not smart. And they look for social proof. They look for things like this. What do you do in front of other people? How do other people react to you? Trust me, when you're at a party and this happens, you have someone whose thumbs are stuck together, and you tell them that when you snap your fingers, they'll come apart, your social proof level rises considerably. Suddenly, you have everyone interested in you. And if you're in a dating situation, you find that life just got a little easier for you. If you're in a sales position, you've also increased your status, because now others see you as someone who is powerful, someone who can control other people's minds and actions. And that's powerful. That's part of raising your social proof. So enjoy that technique. Another suggestibility test that you can use is amnesia. You simply walk up to someone at a party. It doesn't have to be at a party, by the way, but parties are always great to do this at, because people are a little more relaxed, and a lot of the people who you can choose, you'll never have to see again. So if it doesn't work, don't worry about it. You're not going to see them again. You go up to somebody and say whatever it is you want to say about these suggestibility tests. I learned a neat trick that I want to share with you. Hey, are you into hypnosis? Hey, have you ever heard of suggestibility tests? Very few people have ever heard anything about any of these techniques, so you usually don't have to concern yourself. And most people, especially at parties, are up for a good time. They see this as an opportunity to interact with somebody, and they also see it as an opportunity to have some fun. So amnesia works like this. You tell them, I'm going to give you some instructions, and then I'm going to test how well it worked. Let's begin. For the next 5 minutes, you will forget the number 7. It doesn't have to be the number 7. It can be any number. I recommend picking a number 1 through 10. But for the next 5 minutes, you will forget the number, whatever it is. Let's say 7. This will last for 5 minutes. Also, you will forget that I told you to forget the number 7. And then you simply say, okay, that part's over. Now I'd like you to count from 1 to 10. Someone who is highly suggestible, if you have just told them that, will say, believe it or not, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10. And then they will look at you with a straight face because they don't realize what happened. And if there's a crowd around and you ask them to do it again, they will do it again the same way, and they won't realize what happened. You may think the first few times this works for you that they're kidding. However, you'll notice that they don't start laughing. They are confused. They don't understand what is so funny about someone counting from 1 to 10. As far as they know, they've covered every single number between 1 and 10. The only one who doesn't know what's going on is them. Everyone else knows it. Now, never use this to pick on anyone. And after it's over, explain to them what happened. Also, just so they don't feel bad about themselves, explain to them that very intelligent people tend to be more suggestible. That is a fact. So that they don't feel that they're stupid or inadequate or that you've been picking on them. It's very important that you balance this out with common sense and not causing people to dislike you. After all, ultimate conversational hypnosis is all about getting people to like you. All right, the next suggestibility test that I'd like to share with you is anesthesia. Now, we just looked at amnesia, causing someone to forget something. Now, we're going to look at anesthesia. Anesthesia means getting someone to not feel pain. Now, you have to be careful with this one. Of course, you have to be careful with all of them and everything you do in ultimate conversational hypnosis. But anesthesia carries with it the risk of actually hurting someone, so physically hurting them. So you have to be very careful. So when you do anesthesia, you want to make sure that you're doing something that wouldn't cause any physical damage to someone. Let me explain the process, and you'll see what I mean. Anesthesia simply means that you're going to numb a part of the person's body. And when you numb that part, they are, of course, not going to feel any sensations, good or bad, on that part of their body. So the way you would do this is do your introduction, whatever you choose. Hi, I learned some neat tricks from a guy in a program I took, and I want to try them out with you. It'll be fun. Okay, let's have fun. You would then, after you did your clever spiel to get your person to go along with the test, you would say, okay, here's how it works. I'm going to touch your hand on a certain part of your hand. And you can touch the palm of their hand or the back of their hand. You can really touch anywhere on their body, depending on the rapport you have with them, the natural rapport. Hopefully you've anchored yourself and you've done a few other little conversational tricks along the way and you have good rapport with them, thrown in some pacing and mirroring and so forth. And you have a flow with them. This doesn't give you permission to touch them anywhere you want, but within reason, depending on how much rapport you have with them. But I like to use the hands. The hands are a good default. If you've got nothing else that comes to mind, no other part of the body you want to work with, or if you're concerned that they might think you're too forward, use the hands. The palm of the hands tends to work better because it's more sensitive. The palms are more sensitive. They have more nerve endings. And the fingers, especially the fingertips, so you're touching all of that. You're getting intimate with this person already. And you're going to tell them that where I put my hand on your hand, it's going to be numb. So then you simply touch with your hand part of their hand. You physically press your hand down on their hand on a certain area. You can touch one of their fingers if you want. You can touch the center of their palm. You can touch the large area at the base of the thumb. You can touch near the wrist. But just pick a spot on the palm of the hand if you're going to use the hand, or you can touch. Tell them that that area is going to be numb. This won't work with everyone, but as you can see, it's a great way to get to touch someone. And when you're touching someone, you have a lot more rapport automatically. People feel closer to you when you're touching them because you're physically close to them. You're touching them. There's some intimacy going on. I had a friend who read palms, and we were doing something together at NBC Studios in Burbank, where they film the Tonight Show. And the palmist was a male palmist, and although he had his lovely bride with him, he was going around reading all of the ladies' palms. He was a big hit. The ladies were lined up. They wanted to have their palms read. And his wife was a very understanding woman. She put up with all of that. And he read all of those ladies' palms. And he definitely established contact with them during it. You could tell that there was some intimacy going on. So if you're a palm reader, you're in luck. I don't teach palm reading or palmistry, but you might want to get a book on that. It's a great way to become very intimate with people very quickly and to have them want you to touch their hands. They will line up to have you touch their hands. That's a free little tip for you, palmistry. Anyway, back to the story, back to what I teach. After you touch that part of their hand, explain to them that that part is now numb. And tell them beforehand also, wherever I touch, it's going to be numb. Touch it and then say, okay, that part is now numb. Now the next test is to pinch them there. Give them a little pinch and see if they feel it. Don't get carried away with this, because people who are very suggestible can be pinched to the point of bleeding and still not feel anything. Don't push it to the limit. Don't draw blood. Just give them a pinch, a little pinch, something that ordinarily wouldn't hurt them too much. It would just be a little uneasy feeling. And certainly don't draw any blood and don't do any damage to their skin. Otherwise, you're going to lose your rapport and you may be asked to leave the party. So just give them a little pinch and see if they feel it. Hopefully they don't. Not all people, as I've said many times in this module, not all people are so suggestible that they will respond to this or any other suggestibility test. But give it a try. The beauty of a technique like this, as I've pointed out, is that you establish intimacy either way. Even if they quote-unquote fail the test, you have still won because you have held their hand. That's anesthesia. The pendulum technique. A pendulum can be anything. It can be a pen dangling on a thread. It can be a ball of yarn dangling on a thread of yarn. It can be anything that can swing. It can be a belt. You can take off your belt. Hopefully you have reasonably tight pants, unless you want to establish a lot of rapport very quickly, or again, be asked to leave the party. But you can use your belt as long as it's something that you can hold in the air and it will swing back and forth. So when I say pendulum, it doesn't have to be one of these balls on a chain or rocks on a chain from a New Age store or anything like that. It can be anything that swings that you can hold in your hand in the air. Have them hold it. Explain to them that the pendulum can move in different ways. It can swing around clockwise. It can swing around counterclockwise. It can swing to and fro. It can swing from left to right, back and forth. It can swing in different ways. Explain to them how the pendulum works. As they hold it in their hand, tell them that you want them to focus on making it swing a certain way. Clockwise, counterclockwise, between the two of you, back and forth, left to right, between the two of you, however you want them to make it swing, and then have them focus on it. This test tends to be very shocking in a good way to the person holding the pendulum. To everyone else, it looks like they're faking it. It looks like they're making it move, but they're not. Subconscious commands from their brain are making it move. These subconscious commands move out from the brain and into their arm and into their hand and cause subtle and usually indetectable movements. The pendulum is not moving magically. The pendulum is not moving by itself. The pendulum is not moving because some force that you can't see is making it move. The only force that's making it move is them, and you can see them. And if you watch closely enough, you'll see their hands move, yet they are not consciously making it move. Their brain is responding to your commands. So if you see it move in the direction you told them to make it move, then you know they are very suggestible. That's the pendulum technique. Okay, another technique that you can do at parties that you have to be careful with is what I call the fallback technique. With this technique, you stand behind the person. The person is standing upright. You are standing behind them. You tell them that they are beginning to feel themselves leaning backwards. And the more they relax and listen to your voice, the more they fall backwards. They can actually feel their body, although it's upright and stiff, they can feel their body falling back. So you tell them your body is upright and stiff, and it's falling back. You're leaning back now. That's right, lean back. See how I'm talking in my hypnosis voice? Lean back. Everything is monotone. Nothing is jumpy or lively. Everything is relaxed. Lean back. That's right. Just allow yourself to lean back now. Very suggestible people will lean back to the point that they fall into your arms. You have to catch them. Beware that some people fall right away. They start leaning back and they fall right away. That's why I like to tell them that their body is stiff and upright. You don't want them collapsing like they're passing out. Want them falling back, and their whole body should be stiff and upright as they fall back, so you can easily catch them, not have them collapse like jello into your arms. Just have them lean back and fall, and you catch them. And when you catch them, you can give them a hug, give them a hugging catch. Now, these techniques that I'm talking about that are in the physically intimate category, of course, be careful who you do them with. If you're trying to find out if your boss is suggestible, you may not want to touch your boss's palm in a suggestive way or have your boss fall back into your arms and hug your boss. Depending on what your motives are, maybe you do, but you have to realize that there's a time and a place for everything. And these types of techniques, which involve touching, are usually best used when you're in a dating situation. Now, the hands clenched technique and the thumbs together technique and amnesia and the pendulum technique, those are all fine for anyone, but the more intimate techniques you may want to save for people you want to be intimate with. All right, here's another technique. This one has to do with the inability to stand. You would use this technique, the suggestibility test, when someone is sitting down. So, at a party or wherever you happen to find yourself, if someone is sitting down, you would sit next to them. And you would tell them that you've heard of this great technique that Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, taught you. And you would tell them that you would like to try it on them and see if they're up for it. And if they agree, then you tell them, all right, what I'd like you to do is to imagine that the position your body is in, it is stuck in. In other words, they're sitting down, they're stuck in that position. And because you're stuck in this position, you now find it impossible to stand up because your body is stuck in a sitting down position. So go ahead now and try to stand up, and you'll find that your body is stuck. They try to stand up, and their body is stuck. Now, that's what happens with someone who is very suggestible. Keep in mind, you're going to run across people who are not that suggestible in every one of these cases. Every time you do a suggestibility test, you run the risk of having someone who's not that suggestible. And in most cases, that's what's going to happen. The person is not going to be that suggestible. But that's fine. You're looking for those gold nuggets, the golden egg, the needle in the haystack. You're going to find that about 1 in 10 people will be suggestible enough that they will be able to pass this sort of a test. When you do find them, you know that your life just became a lot easier. Okay, so the person who is not that suggestible, when you tell that to them, they're just going to stand up and say, whatever, buddy, I'm standing up, sir or ma'am. And it didn't work. And explain to them that their mind is more powerful than the technique or something along those lines to make them feel better. But basically, you know that you have to use more covert techniques with them. So let's look at another technique. This is called reverse hallucination. Reverse hallucination means that rather than in a regular hallucination where you see something that's not there, here, you don't see something that actually is there. So the way the technique works is you tell them that they are not going to see the television or something else that's in the room. They're unable to see it, and explain to them that they should close their eyes and let go of that from their minds, whatever it is, television, computer, picture, plant, something in the room or something in the area where they are, they will not see it. And then have them open their eyes and ask them, do you see a plant? Or whatever it is you told them that they don't see, ask them if they see it in that room or that area. And if they see it, then you'll know that the suggestibility test didn't work on them. Now, if one suggestibility test doesn't work on someone, you can try one or two more, that's fine. Maybe, for whatever reason, they just don't respond well to that particular suggestibility test. Who knows? You're going to find out by trying a couple others. Also, you need to undo anything that you do. If you give someone amnesia or anesthesia or a reverse hallucination, make sure it's undone. There are two ways to do this. Number one, you may choose to tell them that for the next 20 seconds they won't see a television, for example, or they'll feel the anesthesia, or they won't remember the number 7. Limit it in time. Number 2, you can tell them that it's over, and they, from now on, will know about the number 7, and they will see a television and so forth. It's best to do both if you remember to do so, which hopefully you will. Make it A, limited in time, and B, make sure that when you're done with them, you say that from now on you will be able to see whatever it is. Just undo what you've done so that you don't cause any problems. Okay, next technique, the hand raise technique. A very simple technique, just like all the rest. You simply tell them that while you're talking with them, their hand is going to raise. Now, there's a subtle way to do this technique that I really like, and that is to weave your words into a sentence. You don't have to mark them out like an analog marking, but you can weave them into a sentence or a paragraph. You can continue talking with them, and every now and then you say something about, and your hand raised a little higher, and the sky is blue, and yes, we've got the shareholders meeting tomorrow, etc., and your hand raises a little higher, and I'm going to go to the beach next week, and it's going to be great. I'm going to take my boat out to a few islands as your hand raises a little higher, and we're going to have a barbecue on one of the islands, and then I'm going to take a jet over to Paris as your hand raises a little higher. You see what I'm doing? I'm describing things that are going on, and I'm saying, and your hand raises a little higher here and there. Now, someone who is not very suggestible is possibly going to pick up on this and say, why do you keep saying my hand raises a little higher? If they say that and their hand's not raising, they're not that suggestible. So either move on to the next test or just figure that you're going to have to use some more covert techniques. The other way to do the hand raise suggestibility test is to set it up and just tell them that you're going to do a suggestibility test. And as you talk to them, their hand, pick a hand left or right, or have them pick it, tell them the hand they write with, unless they're ambidextrous, the hand that they write with, or their left hand or their right hand, is going to rise slowly as you talk to them. And it's continuing to rise as if helium balloons, 100 helium balloons, were tied to the wrist of that hand, just pulling it up effortlessly. Ah, that feels so good to just let your hand go. Let it rise up. It just feels so natural. Okay? So you're doing a little bit of hypnosis with them in this suggestibility test. See what happens. See if the hand goes up. By the way, if you're using that voice, that hypnotic voice, you may think that you're not that powerful, but you actually are. You've got to trust me, that voice can be very powerful. What you should do if you're using that monotone hypnosis voice during the suggestibility test or anything else, when you're all done with them, tell them, first of all, it wore off. Hopefully you put a time limit on it. And also, if you've used that voice, tell them that when you count to three, they'll be fully awake. 1, 2, 3. And you can even clap your hands or snap your fingers just to make sure they're awake. Because people who are at parties have to drive home, and you want to make sure that they're able to operate a motor vehicle. Hot. You can make someone feel hot. I'm not talking about physically attractive, even though you can cause that also. But I'm talking about feeling a thermal change on their skin. The best way to do this, and the most entertaining way at parties, is to tell them that the bottom of their feet is getting warmer, as if they're standing on hot coals, and it's becoming more and more uncomfortable for them. And so they're going to have to start lifting their feet. They're going to have to start alternating lifting their feet just to give their feet a break, let their feet cool off, because the floor they're standing on is very hot, and it's kind of burning through their shoes. See if they start doing a little dance. Cold. You can just start talking to someone about how cold it is. Oh, it's so cold in here. Now, this suggestibility test, just like the hot one, won't work if, say, the floor is actually hot. Maybe the floor, for whatever reason, is hot. That's not a suggestibility test. The floor is actually hot. If the floor is not hot, then that's a suggestibility test. Same with cold. if you walk up to someone and say, oh, it's so cold in here, when it's not, when you're actually sweating, that is a great suggestibility test. You don't have to set it up at all. You can even throw on a jacket or a sweater if you have one handy. So the idea is you're in a place that's fairly warm. Perhaps you're even sweating. Perhaps they're sweating. And you're suggesting to them that it's cold. Not just a little cold, but you're shivering. Oh, gosh, it's so cold in here. See if they start shivering as well. And just sort of have fun with it. This can be fun at parties, the hot and cold, because someone reacting in the opposite way from the way everyone else is reacting can be very entertaining. Again, make sure you're not having too much fun at somebody else's expense, but if it's a party, then why not have a little bit of fun? Why not enjoy yourself and have a little bit of fun and explain to them afterwards what happened? It was just a suggestibility test. You were just introducing them to a scientific experiment, and you appreciate their cooperation, even though they weren't willingly cooperating, if you just walked up to them and said, oh, I'm shivering. But either way, make sure that you're respecting the people who you're doing this with, but have a little fun. So these are the suggestibility tests. The hands clench technique, the thumbs together technique, the amnesia technique, the anesthesia technique, the pendulum technique, the fall back technique, the inability to stand technique, the reverse hallucination, hand raise, hot, cold. I think you have enough tools in your toolbox now to have some fun and to do some suggestibility tests with people. All right, you knew it was coming, and here it is. It's time for a quiz. I'm just going to ask you a couple questions from this module. And if you need to review before you do this, feel free. And then join me back here where we'll have a couple brief quiz questions. All right. Number one, of all the suggestibility tests that I shared with you, name one. There are two of them. Name one that is intimate, meaning that you would only do it with someone who you want to be physically intimate with. That's quiz question number one. Question number two. When you do the pendulum suggestibility test, do you need to use an actual pendulum? In other words, do you need to use something that came in a box from a store that's labeled pendulum, and it's on a chain, and it's a nice little stone, polished stone or something dangling from there? Do you need to use an official pendulum when you do the pendulum suggestibility test? Okay, pause this if you need to. If not, I'm going to carry on with the answers. Okay. The second one was probably very obvious to you, so I'll answer the second one first. No, the pendulum doesn't need to be anything official. Anything will do as a pendulum. A cat dangled by its tail. No, I'm just kidding. But a yarn holding a ball of yarn. A piece of yarn holding a ball of yarn would be fine. A string with a pen tied to the end of it would be fine. Anything will do as a pendulum, except a cat held by its tail. Very bad idea. All right, now question number one. Which of all the suggestibility tests I shared with you, which one, and there are two of them, which one did you name that is intimate, meaning you would only do it with someone who you want to be physically intimate with? You would not do this test with a boss or a client or anyone with whom you have an official business type relationship. Okay, the two answers are anesthesia and the fallback technique. The reason you wouldn't do anesthesia with someone whom you do not want to be intimate with is that you have to touch them. You hold their hand and you touch them, or you're touching them somewhere else. and it just gets more intimate from there if you're touching them somewhere else. So this technique is great for someone with whom you want to get closer to. You want to establish that physical connection, but it's not appropriate for someone who writes your paycheck or someone who you're trying to sell something to or anything like that. Okay, the other technique that falls into this category is the fallback technique. In the fallback technique, you're telling someone that their body is stiff like a board, yet it's falling back. You're standing behind them, and you're going to catch them with a hug. Obviously, this is not appropriate, except in a dating-type situation. So those are the two questions. And now for the homework. Homework is, of course, I want you to go out and try this stuff out. You don't have to go to a party. Maybe between now and the next module, you won't even be at a party. Who knows? You can go home and try it with your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend or people at work or the neighbor next door. Go wake them up and try this with them. You can try it with anyone. These techniques, when I say that they're best tested at parties, it doesn't have to be at a party. But just try a couple of them. See how the people react. Remember, there is no failure. Keep in mind when you're doing these suggestibility tests, most people will, quote, fail the test. Most people are not that suggestible, and that's okay. Point is that you're learning how to do these tests, you're becoming more confident in doing them, and guess what? You're establishing rapport while you're doing it. While you're doing any of these tests with someone, you're standing pretty close to them, and you're talking with them, you're interacting with them. You're probably laughing and having fun also. And if others watch, and if the test is successful, and even sometimes when it's not, it can be fun and funny, and it can establish even more rapport. And, as I've said, if the test is successful in front of a large group, your social proof just went up. When people see you successful in front of others, and when others are acknowledging your success, that raises your social proof. People see that other people accept you, and for whatever reason, that means something to people. So when you do these tests and you are successful in front of a group, it raises your social proof. When you do them in front of a group and you're not successful, you simply explain that most people, 9 out of 10 people, do not pass the suggestibility test, and that's fine. That's the way it is, and that's okay. So either way, don't worry about it. But try a couple of these techniques on either the same person or 2 different people or a few people. And you can always excel in your homework. You can always do more. You can try all of these suggestibility tests on everyone you know if you want to. Just keep in mind the safety procedures that I told you about. You limit the time that it happens. You tell them for the next 5 minutes or what have you, that they're not going to see the television or that this is going to happen or that's going to happen, whatever the test may be. And then at the end of it, you tell them it's over. And if you've used a hypnotic style voice, you tell them that you're going to count to 3. By the time you reach the number 3, they will be wide awake. And then you can snap your fingers or clap your hands or something to make sure that they're out of it. They're awake and aware of what's going on. Okay. That's part 1 of your homework. Part 2 is come up with your own suggestibility test. I've given you all these different tests. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 different suggestibility tests. That's a lot. What's number 12? You tell me. I want you to come up with your own suggestibility test. Because when you're doing that, you learn a little bit about how they actually work. If you have to put one together and make it happen, then that means that you have a good understanding of suggestibility tests. So create one. It can be anything. Anything at all. All right. I hope you have enjoyed this module. I think this module's homework will be some of the most fun that you've had in a while, and I hope you go out there and just have a good time with it. Remember, it's all about having fun. Homework is fun work. I'm going to say that over and over. Okay, so it's not fifth grade where you have to do your homework or you're going to get in trouble. No, it's time to have fun. This homework is fun, and it also leads to more fun because every time you do your homework, you increase your powers. You learn a little bit more about how people's minds work and how to manipulate them, control them, persuade them, influence them, whatever word you want to use. You're getting them to do what you want them to do, and you get a little closer to that goal, a little closer to being an expert every time you do your homework, so that by the time you're done with this program, you will be an expert at ultimate conversational hypnosis. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding day.